See if they got the freedom that that church had. Because that's what Paul's saying. He goes, oh, all crazy has broken out because the women were on one side, men were on the other side. He's like, hey, just ask them when you get home. Now around here, we got that kind of freedom. Ryan, just tell her what you want for dinner when you get home. Nowadays, everybody texts it. I mean, I can read Facebook and see what y'all are thinking while I'm preaching. Bring your kids. I'll start texting while I'm doing this, and they can get the message. You can text them, and we preach at them. Technology, but when I asked the Lord, I said, "Well, show me." The Lord said, "Oh, it's very simple." He told me this revelation. He said, "I sent Mary to go tell the guys that I'm alive. They didn't believe her because she was a woman. Therefore, I walked through the wall and rebuked them for not believing her. So I can send powerful messages with women." So that's a very good point, Lord. So how did you get to that? Because I got to the heart of the Lord, and he backs it up with his scripture. Amen? He backs it up with his scripture. But if I want to get legalistic, I could pull each of those things. Almost everybody would be disqualified from being anything. Because we are coming up in a culture so messed up and not Jewish with all their rules that we wouldn't even be able to have a qualified elder. But I believe the apostolic is going to change a lot of that, and God's going to change these things. Amen? So let's look at unpretended. Let me just look at the few scriptures that say the unpretended thing, okay? We'll have a conference on this one day. I'm still seeking the Lord about it. This is so big in the body of Christ. Okay, 2 Timothy 1. He talks about unpretended faith. 2 Timothy 1. He's talking to Timothy. Verse 3. I have thanks to God, whom I worship from my forebears in a pure conscience, how unceasingly I have remembered according concerning you in my petitions night and day, longing to see you, being reminded of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Take a recollection of the unpretended faith in you, which first dwelt in your mother, grandmother, and in your mother, and I am sure it is in you also. Timothy's father wasn't a believer. And Timothy watched his grandmother and watched his mother and developed real faith, really trusting God, hearing God, relationship with God. But for Paul to say unpretended faith, what does that mean that Paul has seen a lot of? Pretended faith. When I ask the Lord, what is it that's going on where people say it, but there's nothing real, there's no connection. The Lord said, it's pretended faith. So Timothy recognizes, let me look at this. Same thing in 1 Peter 1:22. It says, having purified your souls in obedience to the truth through the Spirit to unpretended brotherly love, then love one another fervently out of a pure heart. So if there's unpretended brotherly love, that means there's pretended brotherly love, isn't there? So Paul's recognizing this in Scripture. There are people who say the right things, and it seems right, but there's not the fruit of it. It's pretended. It's not real. True brotherly love comes from God doing a work in your heart for you to see yourself and deal with your stuff, which will cause you to have compassion for others, which will produce real brotherly love because it breaks judgmental. If you have true brotherly love, you've gotten free from being everyone's judge. Let me look at the one that says, it actually talks about pretended faith too. See, if you've been praying and doing things and it never seems to work, there's a high probability that you have a pretended faith that's led to pretended brotherly love. And it doesn't produce the promises of God. And it causes you to be bitter towards God. It causes you to be jealous and envious. And it doesn't seem to work for you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I think all of us have had it some. I mean, that's what I had to die to. I had a real thing going with God, but I had a strong unpretended faith thing going, or pretended faith thing going, when I needed a miracle for my son. And I had to walk through a long trial to die to pretended faith. Pretended faith is fear-based faith. I'm using the word to try to get a job. I'm using the word to try to get a healing. I'm using the word to try to make sure my children are safe. I'm using the word to try to feel safe. That's pretended love. I mean, that's pretended faith. Why? Because you're using the word. You are using the word to deal with a fear. You are using the word as a tool to stop something that you're afraid is going to happen. Okay? Pretended faith, which produces pretended love, which causes a whole deception of pretense. There are going to be the people that Jesus talks about that show up on the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? And the Lord stops them and says, I don't know you. Away from me, you worker of iniquity. Basically, they pretended and were delusional. They literally thought they had a relationship with Jesus where they thought they had authority over demons. They thought they were prophesying. And God says, basically, you're delusional. That was based on pretended faith. That was based on pretended love. And it did not produce the fruits of righteousness in your life. And you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. Some of you need to catch on. You need to know him. If you don't know him, if you've been a Christian for years and you don't know Jesus Christ and you haven't begun to understand his personality and his character and you don't have a relationship with him like you have a relationship with a person, you're in pretended faith. You're doing everything you're doing fear-based. And it's going to make you frustrated and angry and bitter, or you'll go into delusion and start thinking everything's fine when it's not. But your families, they don't, nobody connects with it. They don't get it. And now it's gone from, I believe you can add it, hyper-spiritual, where people are thinking they're encountering the living God, but they're encountering something else. And so it's become perverted. There's a perversion that's, instead of people looking more Christ-like, you have people looking more demonic and calling it freedom. And there's a really big thing of that going on in the body of Christ. So we want God to deal with us with all that. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1:5. He says, even as I called on you to remain in Ephesus, this is 1 Timothy 1:3, that you might charge some not to teach other doctrines. Oh my gosh, the true apostles sent in people and told them to tell people in the church, don't preach that gospel, that doctrine. Oh my gosh, if you walked in today and said, don't teach a doctrine, they're going to call you all kinds of fun things. He says, I want you to go and tell them not to teach other doctrines, not to give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which causes doubts. But I want them to be a stewardship of God in faith. But the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith not pretended. See, this was an issue. This is still an issue. This is an issue in some of your lives. Some of you have been getting free from this. There's an entire body of Christ that needs to get free. A lot of people in the body of Christ need to get free from this. Some of them, they just have to grow up. Amen? But you have to quit hanging on to something that you think is your answer, but it's a fear-based hanging on. Oh. See, when I hang on to a promise of God, I'm hanging on to it because I know the God of the promise and I know his nature and I know who he is and I know what he's told me and I know his word coming to life to me and I've seen him and I've walked with him and I know him. So I hang on to his promise in faith. But if I have unpretended faith, I grab God's word and I heard somebody teach it and I even read it myself and I say it 100 times. And I think it has to happen because I'm saying it. I will be the lender, not the borrower. I will be the lender, not the borrower. And you'll read a book and you'll hear somebody say how it worked for them. Faith is not something to work for you. Faith is a substance that comes when you have a relationship with the true and living God. And it just is in the atmosphere. There's no fear there. His perfect love is the only thing to get rid of that fear. Pretended faith is a counterfeit to get rid of, to let fear stay there and you don't know that you're in fear. Amen? It's really bad. We got to get free from it. And if you take from pretended faith and you have, then you try to enter into encounters without a real thing going with God and without a clean clean hands and a pure heart where God's in charge of your maturity, but you're just jumping in because somebody says, come jump in, and pretended faith is going to take you into pretended encounters that are going to then get demonic spirits into your mind and your thinking, and you're going to become delusional, and you're going to lose connection with the headship of Christ, which we're going to talk about after lunch. This is serious stuff. There are way too many Christians on antidepressants, sleeping pills, all kinds of meds for psychiatric problems. There's just not a single case of that in Scripture. What's happened? Pretended faith. Pretended faith is fear-based believing. But somebody's like, well, how do I get rid of it? You enter into the kingdom. You ask God. You cry out to God. The first place to start with anything is where you're really at. It's like, man, I don't even know if I know God after hearing this lady talk. Well, if you don't think you know God after hearing me talk, then you probably don't know God, which is a great start. Because wouldn't it be nice if all your problems were because you don't know God and you can actually have a real relationship with God and start to know him and things change? Do you want to have things stay the way they are and keep pretending? Pretending faith wears you out after a while. That was the whole teaching about riding the bull that we did last time. It was powerful. But God told me to present it in a way that we could put it on the radio and people would understand. How hard are you holding on because of fear? It's not doing you any good. It's not doing you any good. It's better to just let it go. You're so afraid if I let it go, everything's going to fall apart. Well, everything's falling apart anyway. So if you let it go and turn and say, God, I want something real with you. I want to get healed. I want to get free. I want to be able to trust you. Start with the truth. God, I don't think I trust you. Because I couldn't trust my father. Or God, I don't think I know who you are. Because I thought you were just me saying your word over and over and over. God, I'm not sure if I'm really having encounters with you because it feels great when I enter into something mystical, but then nothing changes. I feel sad. This doesn't sound like the joy of the Lord is my strength. We're not going to get into this a lot today. I'm going to have a conference coming up soon, and you need to grab all the unpretended faith people you know and ask the Lord, take me, set me free from that. Because and you can actually be a true Christian with something real going on with God. That's what I was. And still have areas of fear and pretended faith. And what pretended faith does, it blocks Holy Spirit from coming into that area. And then it's just you and your fear. And trying so hard to make things work. He says the end of the commandment is to love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith that's not pretended. And he goes, from which having missed the mark, some. So if they miss the mark of real faith, they turn to empty talking. They want to be teachers of the word or the law, but they don't even understand what they're saying. And they don't really have confidence about what they affirm. I'm not going to get into all this, but I'm going to tell you. When I teach the pretended faith, we'll get into these scriptures because those are really powerful scriptures. He starts to talk about in 1 Timothy about all the sin issues and all the hurt issues, and a lot of that stuff is in the church. Amen? So we want to be free. I got one more scripture on pretense. James. In James 3. Oh, you can have pretended wisdom. And there's a lot of people, if you have pretended faith, Satan's going to add pretended wisdom. What's pretended wisdom? It's when you hear something that you think is God, but it really doesn't line up with his word or his nature, but you know you heard God, and you do something. I've heard of people quitting their jobs. Like, you know, they had really good jobs, and they felt like the Lord called them to the mission field. And they just said, Lord, call me mission. So I'm quitting my job. And they quit their job and no mission field door opens. Now they don't have a job. And then they get upset. Why did God have me quit my job? God didn't have you quit your job. Pretended faith had you quit your job. You heard somebody else talk about the mission field, or you're sick of your job, or you don't like your job, or maybe you have a calling, but it's not mature yet. So you choose with pretended faith to jump out and try to make God do something. And then you're in a gigantic mess. This happens a lot. How do you know if it's pretended? It doesn't produce what faith produces. If you jumped out in, quote, faith, and what faith should produce wasn't produced, admit I jumped out in pretended faith and help me to get free. Does everybody get what I'm talking about? If you can't have the protection and the, and God's faithful even when we're not, thank God, amen? But to really walk in it, to really know that you know that you know that nothing can harm you, to really know that you know that you know that God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way, we need real faith. And that will produce real love. And that will produce real encounters with the living God. Amen? That will produce love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. And the power of God will be seen for his glory, and it'll point to God. So he says, he talks here about the tongue. We've got teaching on that. It's powerful about, you know, how the tongue, well, James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, spotting all the body, inflaming the course of nature, and being inflamed by hell. Satan wants to get a hold of your mouth. It's not a little thing when you say things out of your, oh, wow. Look, we can talk out of, when we talk out of our hearts, or that which is our emotions connected with our spirit man, amen, there's power released. So when you're cursing, that's just not your flesh. When you curse someone, you're cursing with a demonic spirit and being released. And it's coming from hell. Satan wants to get your tongue. He wants you to curse people. He wants you to speak in anger. He wants you to come against things. He wants you to, he can make you all spiritual with it, right? But it's really a false judgment. It's really, please Christians, quit sending hurricanes at America. We live here. Let's ask for mercy and judgment. Truthfully, Lord wakes me up quite a bit and tells me where somebody has just released a hurricane or a tornado in their prophecy to break the power of it. And everybody's mature, and there's a lot of pretended faith and pretended encounter and all these kind of things. But it's funny how they'll say all the ones that they got right, but they let the ones that didn't come to pass, or they leave it open-ended. Someday there'll be a tornado that's going to hit. Well, 20 years later, I knew it. I'm saying, let's just go after the kindness of God and the goodness of God. And if God sends a warning, he sends a warning that can be turned around. The tongue is powerful. If you get a hyper, or if you get a demonic spirit that's acting like the Holy Spirit and it gets a hold of your tongue, you can cause so much damage. But it's not your head knowledge and what you speak thinking real hard that's going to bring you money, that's going to open a door. When you speak from your head knowledge, it produces nothing. If you do it long enough, you might get a spirit of manipulation or witchcraft to try to get your needs met instead of trusting God. Amen? But if you die enough to self and enjoy God and spend time in God, then you're going to speak as his spirit speaks to you. You're going to speak what he says. And it's going to bring blessings. It's going to come to pass. Amen? Are you getting this? I mean, you can't teach what you have to recognize. Am I talking from my head? If I'm talking from my head, that's just a renewed mind. It's okay to renew my mind. But if I don't understand, that's just a renewed mind. It's going to cause me to be upset with God when this doesn't happen. It's going to cause me to question. It's okay to renew my mind, but when I speak from a renewed mind, that doesn't produce any power. It's just getting my brain to think the way God thinks instead of the way our culture thinks, okay? I need my brain to think how God thinks so I can make good decisions, right? But it's my spirit connected with the Spirit of God that's going to begin to become like Christ and be perfected. And in that place, it's going to speak what God speaks, and my mind can understand it. Why? Because it's renewed. And I'm going to know, ooh, that came from God. Where did that come from? Ah, prophesy, where did that come from? Wow, that came from God. Are you kind of getting the difference? Are you kind of getting the difference? There's no power when you speak from your brain. But you're to renew your brain, your mind. The power comes from relationship with God. And then in faith, I'm speaking it after I seek him and get his word. It's spending time with him, spirit to spirit. And let me just say, at the very onset of a horrible tragedy or emergency, it's kind of a sad time to try to start to have a relationship with God. Okay? I mean, it's better than never having a relationship with God, but it would be really awesome if you were so prepared that Satan doesn't get to do these things and get by with them. Amen? Amen.